How happy to be out this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. We give before you in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we arise this morning, Lord, with you on our hearts, Lord. We just love and appreciate everything you've done for us that day on Calvary. Lord, so undeserving, but Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, with the thanksgiving in our hearts this morning and every morning that we rise out of bed, Lord, knowing you're going to be with us and in us because of what you've done for us. Lord, just bless this service, everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to start on page 658, You Only Believe. Just suppose God searched to heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. Appreciate you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, not deserving, but so thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just think what he done for us, saints. It's not just on Easter, it's every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's try page 28 in our little capstone books. It's a new course, so hang with us here. Above all, he truly is above all. Amen. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were before the world began. Take it up. Above all kingdom, above all. And treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled. Thought of me above all. Let me take it up one. Above all power, above all king, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. You were crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall. Thought of me above all. Amen. Think about it. Above all powers, above all kings. Amen. Above all nature and all created things. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man. And they think they're so big. Amen. Hallelujah. You were here before the world began. That's who I serve. Amen. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all the wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what he's worth to me. Amen. Thankful for him. Thankful for what he's done for me. Amen. Let's turn over to page 20 in the same book. Amen. In Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song, the cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comfort. Appreciate you this morning. Thank you for all you've done for us. Hallelujah. Lord, we appreciate you this morning. Amen. That's why you feel free this morning. Amen. Or that's why you should feel free this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he died for our sins. No other way could take care of them. He died for me and you. Hallelujah. Amen. So thankful this morning. And when he sets you free, you're free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Never can we repay him for what he's done for us. But to give him our life, give him our all, everything we got in us, Lord. Amen. When you really do something you enjoy to do or you got a passion for in this life, you do it with everything you got. You give it your all. That's the only way you're going to get the outcome you want. But it's the same way with this. If you want Jesus in your life, you got to give it your all. Amen. There ain't no slacking. There ain't no... You got to give it everything you got. That's all there is to it. Amen. There ain't no halfway. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be your perfect will, oh God. Lord, we need you more than we ever have, Lord, in our lives. Oh, God, just bless us now with your presence, oh God. Lord, let thy word live in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we love and appreciate you, Lord. So much to thank you for. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. We got so much to thank him for. Amen. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. For he has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Him for, and I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. For he has been so good to me, and when I think of all he's done and where he's brought me. Appreciate you this morning. Lord, never let us fail to give you all the glory and honor due to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Just bless us, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He's been so good to me. I know that. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Amos, would you take up the offering this morning?
Amen.
He is so good.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've got so much to thank you for. Thank you so much for all you've done for me, Lord, for mercy and the grace, Lord, you've showed to me when I'm so unworthy of it.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, never can repay you for all you've done for me. Thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity you've granted, Lord, for us to gather with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith around your precious holy word. Lord, may we, Lord, sit intently. Our hearts and minds are open to receive the portion you have this morning, Lord. Lord, once more we ask that you bless this offering.
Yes.
Let it be used to the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Keep playing that louder. Amen. Just listen. Amen. Think what he's done for you, saints, where we'd be. Amen. this I know with all my heart, he has paid my ransom. Amen. Let's all stand. Anyone have a need upon their heart this morning? Amen. Brother Settles, would you take the needs this morning? Seated. Amen. Anyone have a special this morning? Sister Grace? We got time for how many?
They tell me I'm My heart is ringing.
with you. Amen. Brother Tim, you still? Amen. Let's all stand. We ask our pastor to come. Let's just sing out a little chorus. Footprints of Jesus. Footprints of Jesus leading the way. Footprints of Jesus by night and by day. And if I should fall, leading the way. The Prince of Jesus, by night and by day. If I should fall, my life would be sweet, following Jesus at his wounded feet.
Amen. How many is thankful to be here this morning? Thankful for his mercy and his grace? Amen. Let us just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here again this morning, we, Lord, truly are bringing to remembrance that day that you resurrected. And Father, what a new life it was for us. Lord, what a glorious life it was for us. We appreciate it so very much. Is there words, Lord, that we could say to thank you enough? Doesn't seem like there is, Lord. Is there enough appreciation in our hearts? Maybe not enough, Lord. But, oh God, help us, Lord, to have a greater appreciation. Help us to love you and Lord, to surrender greater to you for all you've done for us. Oh God, you've had such a great love for us and we're so appreciative for it, but help us to appreciate more. Bless us this day now, Lord, and open our hearts to the Word of God. And only you can make it more alive. Only you can bring the reality out to it. Lord, we're just a man, and we have not the capability of doing so. But Lord, the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit can do anything. For all things are possible to them that believe. And Lord, we believe today that you can do that. Just help us to yield to you now that you can do what you want to do. In your glorious, precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. You may be seated for a moment. You know, thinking about the resurrection of our Lord, my, it's just so wonderful. When you just take the time and sit around and meditate on it and think about it, you know, and of course, we're in the springtime of the year, you know, and you can't help but to notice all the beautiful things that, you know, God created and just things, how it happens and so forth, and just seem like life is so abundant in the air, you know. You see the, you know, I think it was last Saturday morning, I believe it was, and I was outside early, and the sun hadn't come up over the hill yet. I kind of live in that valley there, and there's a hill on each side, and the sun hadn't come up above that yet, but yet you could see the brightness behind the hill coming up, and it's just like a beautiful, just a small, looked like 4 or 5 foot high haze of fog, laying low to the ground. And then up on top of the hill where the sun was coming up, you see the silhouette of the deer up there on top of the hill. And then the turkey was over here hollering, and the birds was just singing their hearts out, and seeing the buds on the trees and different things, you know, and the grass greening up and everything. It's just so refreshing, you know, after winter to see the things that, that's one of the reasons I'm glad I live in Ohio. You know, I'm glad I ain't down in Florida or somewhere, because you don't get to see a lot of things in those places, in Arizona and different things. It might be a little harder on the flesh, but it's, I mean, more blessed to see, I think. Amen. But I appreciate what God has created, what he's done. But as I said, we see these many things. And then yesterday, me and Grace had went down and seen Brother Guy Singer at the VA hospital yesterday, and visited him with him for a while and had some fellowship. And coming back, I seen something I'd never seen before happen in my life. You know, I've seen rainbows, and I've walked, you know, when I was young, I'd walk at the end of a rainbow and looked underneath it and walked through it and everything. I had that privilege to do that. Out there on the farm we used to live on, come down in the pasture there where the cattle was. And I, of course, being young, you know, I had to run down there, you know, said pot of gold. That's what I was thinking then, you know. But I run down there, and here is that end of that rainbow. And I stand there looking up, and it just bowed way up into the sky, you know. Well, yesterday, there was another beautiful rainbow, and I'd seen something again I'd never seen in my life. But we'd got off of 33 and come through Logan, got back on 93. And we was kind of following the rainbow and seeing it. And then all of a sudden, for a distance, the end of the rainbow was off to the right of us, probably 300 or 400 yards. And the end of that rainbow was going as fast as we was down the road. And that rainbow was moving. And I'd never seen that in my life. And I thought, of course, you can't help but to think of the covenant God made, you know, when he destroyed the earth with the water. And he said he'd never do it again. And, you know, but it was just amazing to see the beautiful, and it was, this time it had such a soft colors to it, is you know, green and pink and purple and red and orange. It's just beautiful. But it's really strange to see the end of that rainbow just moving along the ground. It was never seen it before. But you can't help but to think of God's greatness. You know, man is so puny compared to God. And you know, man gets attitudes and thinking there's something and so big, and they think they're so important. And of course, women do too. They think they're important sometimes too. We all do. You know, we all have sometime or another thought we was really something. I'm going to tell you what, without God's grace, we're nothing. And today, as we gather here today, without God's grace, we are nothing. And if he wasn't had resurrected from that grave, we wouldn't have this life we have today. But because of what he did, I want to thank him. Amen. I want to praise him for all he's done for me. He's so precious and so wonderful. And I think of this many times. I think, why, Lord, did you choose me and not somebody else? You know? Here they are, struggling life and sin, maybe thieving and dope addicts and all kinds of things they're in. Their mind's gone. They're plastered with tattoos and just earrings and nose rings, and just their life is a mess. And you think, oh God, that desire to serve God is so precious. It is so precious to have that in this hour. And I believe there's never been a time that's been expressed so vividly that, excuse me, you could see sin and corruption like it is. You know, all it was, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, what a terrible time it was. But I believe this day is topping it, friend. It is so sick and so filthy. And when you look and have an opportunity to see life coming back from the trees and flowers and the animals and, you know, right down to the doves, they just can't seem to leave each other alone. They're happy about spring. They want some babies, you know. But everything is just life. Life, you know. And how happy they must be after a hard winter and to see the beautiful days and the longer days coming and the warmth. And then you see the cow lay down in the sun and just, oh, you know, just relaxing because it's got some heat to it now, you know. I think, oh, my, how much greater is that in our hearts bubbling inside for the life that he has given for us and to us, you see. So it's good to reminisce and think about the resurrection and what it means to us as an individual. Amen? Amen. Let us turn our Bibles. If you'd like to turn with me and stand in honor to God's Word, to read His Word, and read a very familiar scripture, and the prophet read it many times in the Easter messages and so forth. But let's read this again, Romans 8, chapter 11 to the 14th verse. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Just feel the love of Jesus in your heart. Amen. Do you feel thanksgiving in your heart? Appreciation? Amen. He's so good. 11th verse of the 8th chapter, book of Romans. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, ain't that beautiful? If you know it dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. See, we don't owe. Not to the flesh, not by what Christ done for us, you see. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We no longer have to do that once you're filled with His Spirit, you see. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or kill, you see, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. May the Lord bless reading His Word again. You may be seated. So we find any man or woman that's filled with the Spirit of God, or we should say it this way first, that's not filled with the Spirit of God, and Christ is not in them, they are bound to have to live after that flesh. They have no choice, you know. Regardless how hard they may try, are still just as carnal as can be, you see. And ages don't change it, you know. You may think, well, just a little fella, you know, maybe 5, 6 years old and raised up 10, 11 years old and not filled with the Holy Ghost, and you see the carnality in their life, you know, because flesh and that worldly nature are still operating and they haven't been filled with the Spirit of God, and you see how carnal they are. And they do so many carnal things. They get hatred to their brother. They get mad at little sister because they've done this. And they get mad at mommy or daddy because they have to go take the trash out or something. You know, just so carnal, you know. So silly. So foolish, you know. And you think, well, my goodness, when I grow up, I won't be carnal. No, it don't make no difference on age. You can be 150 and still carnal as can be. You ever see people, older people that, you know, still just as carnal as could be? Yeah. Them growing up and getting old didn't help anything. No, they still have hatred. They still have envy. They still have strife. They still want to backbite. They have bad things to say about people. It's just their nature, you see, until the Holy Spirit comes in their life and destroys that worldly nature they was born with. That Holy Ghost fire kills it, you see. So until that's happened, it makes no difference of the age. You know, I think, well, when I get old man, I'm going to be a mature person. Yeah, you might be a little mature as far as know how to light the trash burner. You might be a little more mature in how to change oil in the car. But when it comes to the life of Christ, you're no more mature than that little boy is, little girl is. Yeah. And when somebody is filled with the Spirit of God, they see that carnality. They know it's there. You can't hide it, you see, because you can't hide that worldly nature no more than you can hide the nature of God in you. It's expressed either way it is, you see. But we find that Jesus Christ done something for us. When He went to that cross and died for us and was raised from the dead. Now, can you believe that? That He was raised from the dead? Really believe that? Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You see? And more blessed are you that understand. And understand this great plan that God had for us of dying and raising and coming back to life. And the spirit of him, the very spirit that raised him from the grave, from that tomb and emptied that tomb, that very same spirit, if it dwells in us, wow, what a blessed people we are, you see. And if we don't see that spirit dwelling in us yet, then how we ought to strive with all that's in us and press with all that's in us to get to that place, you see. So we can take full benefit of what he's done for us, you see. I'd like to read a quote here, an Easter seal. This was April 10th, 1965. This was just a few days before he preached Rising the Sun. This one he preached in Phoenix, Arizona. All right, so he says here in paragraph 22, he says, "Now we are approaching Easter, and as you're getting your places and marking it down, I think that this coming week is the most and the greatest historical week of all weeks of the year." Oh, yeah. He didn't say it about Christmas, but he said that about Easter, you see. "I think the greatest thing we will celebrate this week, this coming week, was the greatest event that had ever taken place on earth." Wow. That'd be a wonderful event to understand, wouldn't it? And to be a part of, wouldn't it? You see? "Was the greatest event that ever had taken place on earth. I don't think anything could surpass it." You say, well, the crucifixion was great, but many men have died and many men have been crucified, even in the same days of our Lord. But there was only one of them who rose up from the dead. Amen. He said, and that sealed it. Amen. That sealed it that he was the Messiah. That sealed that he was Christ, the Lord, when he rose from the dead. And then what happened after that is the greatest thing. Oh, my. And it was on his great plan. Just think of that. It was on that great plan of to him to do all this for us. And how we ought to appreciate it. Amen. What to be so thankful for. And it shouldn't be just thought of one day a year. It should be every day in our life. Amen. The experience of it flowing through our lives, you see. But even like today. Now, we don't know the exact day that it happened, that he rose from the dead. But we know that man has put it together that, you know, it's a certain day it comes up. And I believe it's the first Sunday after the lunar, something about the moon, first full moon or something like that put together. I've read on it before, but I don't know exactly what it is. But anyhow, it's about that, and that's how it comes up, different dates and so forth. And I believe it's in 2023 that it'll be, again, April the 6th. I thought, boy, how good that is on the prophet's birthday. And, it makes you wonder, you know, is that the day the Lord rose from the dead? You know? You don't know. I don't know. But I'm just saying. But the thing of it is, it's a glorious time anyway. And it's a glorious thing to keep alive in our hearts all day long, 365 days a year, and every day of our life that we live, that it be made alive and kept alive in our hearts. And the appreciation be there. And be able to take and observe daily what comes from that of what took place. Us being able to look ourselves at our own lives and see, I know Jesus Christ raised from the dead because he lives within me. You see, you see this and it's become a reality and it's something that you cannot forget. It's impossible. How could we not appreciate? And as I said in my prayer, we may not appreciate it enough, but God, help me to appreciate the way you want me to appreciate it. Lord, give me whatever it takes to get to that point, because Lord, I want to express my love, my gratitude, my appreciation to you in every way possible I can. But you take a day like today, it's such a normal day to so many people, you know. They don't deserve it in any way. Go to work, they do this, they go to that, they go to the ball games and watch them, they go to the bars and all kinds of things, the worldly events, all kinds of things. Just goes on and on and on today, you know. And just think of the minority. Just think of the minority only that knows about truly what this means. You say, well, Brother Steve, there's thousands, there's millions of people gathered in their churches today and observing Easter. They're going out and hunt eggs after service. The children are carrying their Easter bunnies. They've got their sweet little dresses on. But they don't know what it is. Oh. And don't know where even those things originated from. Paganism. Romanism. And the things that man has put together in his so sour, messed up jellyfish brains. Led by Satan, you see. And destroying the real purpose of what it was all about, you see. But just think of the minority, the few that God has chosen to be a part of it, to be really involved with Him, to be a part of Him, that He could live through and He could express His life through, you see. Just think of the minority. Oh my. But to the world, it's just another day. And they just do their normal things, you know. It's just, it's sad. As I said before and brought the message on, even a Sunday, you know, we ought to give the Lord at least one day a week in our life. Amen. At least one day a week in our life. My, but some can't do that. They got too much worldly gain and too many pleasures and things in life they want to be involved in. But at least one day a week, you know. And I think many times even the prophet said, he'd even take his traps and take and unset them Saturday night so they wouldn't be set on Sunday. Think of that. Oh, my. And just think of the people that don't make any effort to be there on Sunday. Oh, God, help us. Amen. To be what God wants us to be in everything, because that's what this resurrection was all about. Amen. Hallelujah. That He could live through people. And they would honor Him and glorify Him and respect Him in all things, you see. Amen. All right, so he says, I'm going to read here in Matthew, if you want to turn with the book of Matthew 28. And the prophet read this at different times too. And he actually read this in Easter seal. In Matthew 28, and let's begin here at the first verse. Amen. One thing about it, saints, keep this in mind. And all of you listen to me. If you are predestinated and you is in the thoughts of God, you are here to fulfill God's word. Amen. Amen. You are here for that purpose. If you wasn't in the thoughts of God and have not eternal life, it's of no concern to you. A lot of people like the benefits of it. Like people helping them. They like people praying for them. They like people coming and seeing them when they're sick and all these different things. But when it comes to anything they have to give, it's not there, you see. But if you're predestinated, you're born to give back to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, they have a little saying, born to live, or you're born to give to Jesus Christ if you belong to Him. Amen. All right, Matthew 28, begin the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. You know what it is? Rejoice and be glad. Can we rejoice and be glad because he is risen? Oh, how we ought to be able to rejoice and be glad because we know he is risen. Hallelujah. It's a happy day. Amen. To know that he is risen. Why? Because it's new life for us. Hallelujah. Glory. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and they shall see me. Wow. What a day. Could you imagine what was going through the little woman's heart? Oh my, that the Lord Jesus was going to come and visit. And he was to go tell them. Go tell their brethren, I'm coming to visit you. I'm going to come and see you. After he'd been crucified. And all that was going through their minds, knowing that he was killed on that cross. His body beaten and just torn to pieces, almost to the place of unrecognized who he was. But yet, raised from the dead, come alive? How could this be that a man die on a cross? Nails drove through his feet and his hands, a spear pushed through his side. A crown of thorns pressed down upon his head to the point it was bleeding and blood running down his face because of the thorns puncturing his head. And many times being beaten and bruised, his body just tattered. And yet raised from the dead? Raised from the dead? Just think what he did for you. Amen. Is it impossible that a man or a woman today could raise from a dead life, a carnal life, a life of flesh and filth and corruption, and be changed to a life of peace and joy and happiness, and guess what else? Assurance. Amen. Blessed assurance. Don't forget that, because I'm going to tell you, that's what came with it, assurance. That when I had to lay this body down, I know I'm going to be there with my Lord. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. That I have nothing hanging over me no more. You have nothing hanging over you. You say, but brother, you don't know what I did. God knew all about it, but he already put it in the sea of his forgiveness if you've done what he told you to do. So don't worry about it. It's done and it's taken care of. Oh, what a blessed assurance Jesus is mine. But you don't understand, Brother Steve, how bad I was. You don't understand what I did. I lied to people. I cheated people. I'd done this. And my, I caused people to do that. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, lost in his love. Amen. I'm washed in his blood and lost in his love. Oh, isn't he wonderful? You say, well, okay, well, I'll listen to you. Well, I want you to listen to the word today, because I'm going to tell you, God made it possible for his people to really be assured. Amen. Yes. Really, truly be assured. And some of you are getting the age where you might be passing on before too long. You know, you have no promise of how much longer you'll live. I don't have much promise how much more I'll live. And the young one's sitting here either. But it's more prominent the older you get that you have less days, you see. That anything could happen. But I want to make sure you have that blessed assurance, friend. And Jesus Christ made it possible. Going to that cross, being put in that tomb, and him raising again gave blessed assurance. Amen. All right, let's go over here. I'm going to read something in the Hebrew book, and this is chapter 7, paragraph 422. I'm going to try not to hold you too long, but I've got a lot to say today. Amen. But we'll try to keep it down to minimal. All right, paragraph 422 beginning. Listen close now as we close. And at Calvary, God came down and took the body of his own son, in which he had lived, and he ripped it apart at Calvary. His bleeding, wounded, and cut, and the spear run in there and ripped him apart, and his blood gushed out. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head, and the earth shook, and the lightnings flashed, and the thunders roared. God was writing his everlasting covenant. And he took his dead body from the grave on the first day of the week and brought it up into heaven and sat it there on the high priest as the high priest, excuse me, as a memorial, sitting there perfect forever. And he sent the spirit that he tore out of that body right back down on the church. Oh, glory. And that church will have to have the same spirit that was in that body. Wow. Or it won't dovetail with it in the resurrection. Those two pieces must come together perfectly. And you think about the little, he said, the Chinese laundryman. You take the piece of paper, you know, and tear it. And you leave your laundry, come back, pick it up, and you had to match that piece of paper. And when you tear that piece of paper, it all has to come together just the way the tear went, you see. All right? So remember that. The two pieces must come perfectly together. And if this church isn't perfectly just exactly the same spirit that was in Christ, you'll never go in the rapture. Oh. So I'm already seeing that it's going to have to be the same spirit. Because one thing about it, whatever you can do, whatever I can do, I don't care how good we are. I don't care how smart we are. I don't care how good of a memory we've got. We don't have the capability to do this on our own. No way. It's impossible. In regards to how good a person we are and how we've been raised, we might have been raised by the best parents there ever could have been, but still we do not have the capability to do this on our own. So again, when he come forth from that grave, there was a life that come forth. That all was in Christ. He poured into the church. Amen. Think of that. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church. He poured into his body. Life? Yes, life. Is this why certain people act so strange? Is this why some people that's their whole desire? Is this why some people can't stand football games and craziness and race cars and craziness goes on in the world? Is this why they can't stand crazy music that they take in religious music and put a bunch of junk to it and twisted it, made it sick sounding? Is this why they can't stand all this? Yes, this is why they can't stand none of that. They're in this world, but they're not of it. You see? For they that love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So we realize that this special something came down to us, special people that God preordered, he predestinated, in order for them to be a receiver of this, that he'd place a part of himself there in their life, and they would become these strange, oddball people. You see, the prophet spoke of many times. He says here, I'm going to read here the Easter seal again, all right? He says, paragraph 86, now the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as it finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus. Oh, so there's one of your things of knowing if it got you or not. Oh, if it got a hold of you, now you start doing the way Jesus would do. Amen. He says here, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super son of God who redeemed us all. It comes down and takes its place of abode in the human life. Now notice, brought the quickening power. Now that quickening power that come upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. Now if that same spirit comes upon us, Wouldn't it do the same thing for us today, for this day?
Amen.
Absolutely. You know, people still make it such a hard thing to try to figure out within themselves if they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They try to get this thing in their head, I don't know if I'm born again, I don't know, and this, that, and the other. One thing about it, God's Word plainly tells you whether you are born again or not, without a question. I mean, there's not a doubt whether you're born again. If you have a doubt, then there must be something wrong. There must be something wrong. You must need something further from God. There's something that God needs to reveal to you. And it seems to me, if I was in that position that I didn't know for sure, that I couldn't put my life on it and know for sure, everything else would truly be strangely dim and made dim until I got to that place. But today, people are so filled with life, cares of life, that everyday grime, jobs, family, homes, automobiles, life itself, just cares of life. And Jesus warned us what would take place. He warned us that it was wrong seed. You see? How can we, if we're sons of God, let the cares of life choke us? How can we? There's something wrong somewhere. He came out of that tomb for a reason, to keep that from choking us. He gave us something special to keep this life from choking us. Are we recipients of it? You see? Has it been made alive to us? Did it come to life in us? Is it expressing? Is it manifesting? That there's something inside of us that's keeping us from being choked with this cares of life. Yeah. We're not like the people of the world that our home is our possession. Don't you touch it. I've worked hard for this. No. All you got to do, friends, is go back to Scripture and you'll find out how puny that home is.
Amen.
Just be thankful you got a roof over your head. But it don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
No. No. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's going to burn up one of these days. Then where's your pride going to be?
Amen.
Then where's your pride going to be if everything has to be just right? Now you're saying not have a nice home. Absolutely. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home. But when you put your heart all in it and you miss out what God wants in your life because you always got your mind on that, then it becomes sin to you. Yeah. Yeah. When it begins to take your mind over and you can't even meditate on Christ and you can't read His Word, you ain't got time for it because you got to nail another nail in. You got to put another shingle on. You got to put a new window in. And in the car, you got to make sure it's this just right. And you got to make sure it's clean. And you got to make sure. And if you can't do that and still have time for God, it's time to get rid of it.
Amen.
Yeah. It's time to get rid of it. Well, I can't. I got to have a place. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Friends, what will a man give in exchange for a soul? Do you realize there's going to be men and women have to stand on the day of judgment and they gave their soul up for a home? They gave their soul up for a land. They gave their soul up for an automobile. They gave their soul up for a life that they wanted in desires and pleasures. They gave their life for that.
Amen.
They gave that in exchange for their soul. Oh, my. See, when you begin to not, or when you're in this position of not knowing what happened in that tomb and what took place when He raised, how easy it is for the human mind to get off in the wrong direction and lose the sight they were sent here for. But oh, if Jesus Christ would make it alive and reality in your heart. Friend, you know you have to have a job, but your life ain't in it. You know you have to have an automobile to get back and forth, but your life ain't in it. And it don't mean you don't take care of it, friends. I've done it before, but I haven't done like probably the prophet did. He'd even wipe his motor off on his car and stuff, you know. And nothing wrong with that. And I try to take care of what God gives me and lets me use, you see. But the thing is, my heart ain't in it. No. My life ain't centered around it. No, because when something begins to nudge me, okay, go do this or that. Go just off behind the barn and pray. I'm there. Yeah. Don't care if a job gets finished or not. Go what the leading of the Lord is. Yeah. Direction of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Maybe sleeping in the middle of the night. Something come to your mind. Jump out of bed and begin to write it down. What it is, quotes or scripture. Yeah. Sleeping ate my life. Whew, that might be a hard one with some. Some like to sleep awful well. And you got to have rest. But he just, all he wanted to do is sleep and sleep and sleep. Is there more purpose in life than that? You see? He said, well, I'm tired. I'm tired. Well, maybe you ought to see what's wrong with your body. Yeah. Maybe it just needs a little more iron. It may need something. It may need a mineral. You see? Help it out. Give it something. Yeah. But nothing gets accomplished in sleeping. Yeah. But we've got to have sleep. Believe me. You've got to have. And sometimes I probably should have a little more. But if I get 4 or 5 hours, I'm tickled. You know, but the thing is, what is our life here for? What is our, you say, what's that got to do? Now, I just may sound like I'm meddling, but let's just talk about some things. Maybe a sister needs a helping hand with something. Maybe a brother needs a helping hand with something. And you know that brother needs something, needs a helping hand with something. And now let's stop right there. I'm not fishing for help. So don't be coming to me and say, I want me to come help you. I'm coming. I don't need no help right now. If I do, I'll get young brothers to help me sometime. Okay, but the thing is, if that person needs help, where is my spiritual condition? This is Saturday. I'm going to lay right here in bed. I'm sleeping until 10, 11 o'clock because it's Saturday. What is the spiritual condition there? Well, that may seem like a little thing, but I tried to find just a little thing to make you think. You are here on this earth to serve God, not yourself. That's why you're here. If you come with the attitude you're here to serve yourself and to live this life to your fullest of dreams, you sure are in the wrong place, friend. Yeah. You need Jesus Christ in your life. Because you are here for others. Our Lord Jesus Christ showed that himself. His whole life was for others. And if that same spirit raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, now he's going to show us here what he did. We'll do the same. Yes, we've got to talk about the little things too, people call little. But as man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see? That's what this reality of the risen Christ is all about. It isn't about Easter eggs and hunting eggs. It isn't about dressing up pretty. No, wearing pink shoes. A man getting a pink shirt and all this other pink belts and all that nonsense. It's a bunch of foolishness, friends. Vanity. But the thing of it is, we are here to look on the things of others more than the things of ourselves. Do we have a looking eye to see what everybody wants? What people need? Do we have that looking eye? Do we have that listening ear? Oh, my. Are we too busy with our own personal life? Don't you bother my personal life, because I ain't doing it. I ain't got time for him. Do you think our Lord Jesus Christ, what if it would have been if he'd looked at that cross, got right down to the end of it before they laid him down on that cross and began to nail him? I ain't doing this for now. I am King Jesus. I ain't got time for this. And then just wave his hand and kill everybody around him that was trying to destroy him. Look where you'd have been. We'd been very sad shape today. But because he gave his life for others and rose again and gave that life to others, that's what we're here for. Let's forget about ourselves. Yeah. Let's forget about ourselves. But I want to do this, Brother Stephen. I want to do that. So, can you come to a work crew, or can you not come to a work crew at the church because you've got your own life to live? Huh? Amen. You got your own life. I know people, friends, don't forget, and I've been ministering for many, many years, but I've seen people, it happened in the past. Brothers that wouldn't show up for a work crew, hardly ever, never do anything for the church. That comes down to the end of the road, and then life ain't so easy for them in many different ways. Their heart wasn't in it. Their interest was not in it. Yeah. And you know, a church this size, we could probably pay somebody to go ahead and keep mowing the grass and things like that. We could probably pay somebody to do those things. Maybe have to cut a little few corners or just make sure that things are done right and so forth. But I think it's a good thing for us to be able to do it. I mean, but it seems like, and in some way it goes the other way. They just keep on going. You think, would you just lay it off? You're getting too old. So I tried to tell Brother Finley the other night. I said, he's out here weed eating and everything, you know, and he's starting to get that humped over look, you know, like an old man. And I told him, I said, Brother Finley, I said, you don't have to do that, brother. You're getting some age on you. I don't think he even should have to lift that mat out there and hang it over the wall. But if he wants to do it, that's fine. But one of the younger brothers ought to do that. You know, I mean, but the thing of it is, some people are so concerned about themselves, they ain't got time for anything that belongs to God. Yeah. Yeah. They ain't got time for it. They got their life and their life alone. But I want you to remember today, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ having you first in mind, look where you would be. Oh, my. How thankful and how we ought to be willing to do anything he wants us to do. Well, that ain't for God. I'm going to tell you what, this place belongs to God. Yes, it has to have somebody's name on it. It has to be this, that, and the other, as far as laws of land. But I'm going to tell you what, it belongs to God. That's right. It absolutely does. And when you do it here, you're doing it for him and for his glory and for his kingdom, for his honor, you see. Well, brother, I work. I got to work for a living. Well, I'm sure you get off sometime, don't you? The rest of us don't have to be there for you to do something. I pitch in and say, brother, I'll do that. You just leave this for me and I'll take care of that. But you think people's got that kind of desire? Think, my, you're hurting my feelings, Brother Steve, this morning. This is supposed to be a happy Easter message. We're supposed to hunt eggs. Eat chocolate bunnies. This is what real Easter's about. The real Easter. Life. Yes. The one that gave all for us. How much can I give back to him? Oh my. How much can I see of my brother in need and help him if he needs help? You see? Let me have helping looking eyes, Lord. Help me have looking eyes. And sometimes my wife in the past, she's sometimes got a little put out with me before, you know, because it seems like I'm just always helping somebody else, you know, and helping this and helping that one and this and that and the other, you know, and she needs something done or wants something done or knows we need something done, but sometimes it don't get done. You know, I got a bathroom right now, friends, that I got a flat piece of metal over to keep from falling through. Yeah. But I want to make sure everybody else is taken care of first. And I'll get to the bathroom floor. Yeah. I'll get to it. You know. It's an old house trailer. So what? It'll burn up one of these days anyway. But I don't want nobody to fall through either. That's why I bought a nice piece of metal to put over top of it and covered it with a rug. That was a quick fix. Amen. But that home ain't my life, you see. Saints, there's It may seem like something funny, but I'm going to tell you what. There's a reality to Jesus Christ living in your life. You see? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's a reality. And sometimes I still like I can't get helping people enough, you know? And my mother and dad's getting old. My mother left her. My wife's mother and dad's getting old. And that keeps me busy, you know, keeping two of them going, you know? And plus me trying to keep things going. But you know what? I'm thankful I can do it. And thank God I've got my parents I can still do it for. Just as long as they don't expect me to be able to do it all at one time, because it can't happen. I just do a little bit at a time of what I can, you see. But, saints, where are we at? Just a simple question. Where are we at with everything concerning this real, true Christ that raised from the dead and that same Spirit coming in us? And something down is so simple to think of the thought, but yet great, I repeat, where would I be, where would you be, if the Lord Jesus Christ would not have rose from that grave? I am so thankful He rose from that grave, because He gave me life. He gave me desire. He gave me a longing to do what He wants me to do. He gave me, Lord, forgive me for falling short. He gave you that, yes. Because if it wasn't for His mercy and grace, I wouldn't feel that. He gave me, Lord, I'm so sorry for this. Help me to never do it again. Yes, He gave me that. He also gave me blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. One day I'll lay this life down, and a crown I shall gain. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. He's real. Amen. He's a living God. Amen. Where is the people that He lives through and in? You see? Amen. Glory to His name. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Do you still love me?
Amen.
Amen. I love you too. Very much. God knows how much I love you. Amen. I don't know why He made tears, but sometimes I can't see when I got tears. But He made them for a reason. Amen. Get them working here. All right, He says, yes, where are we at? It comes down and takes its place and abode in the human life. Now, notice, brought the quickening power. Now that quickening power that come upon Jesus quickened Him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. So does the Holy Spirit come upon us in this day. If it's not a mockery, Holy Spirit, He says. You're not the devil mocking the Holy Spirit, but it is real, true Holy Spirit. Excuse me. It'll manifest the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Luther, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Wesley, it manifested the promise of that hour. You know, I think of this, just another place, the prophet saying this, and ministering this message, I won't mention his name, but got up and tried to preach and tell people that nobody in the Mother Ages had the Holy Ghost. Oh my, they're only in this age. What a shame. And that's why I have no fellowship with him. He has taken away from the Word, you see. When it falls in this day, it manifests the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Moses, it manifested the promise of that hour. It fell upon Noah and manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Jesus, it manifested the promise of that hour. It's the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken, make alive those people that's foreordained of God to be in a rapture. My, just think of that. If you be one of these people that we're talking about and he's bringing out in here, you're one of these people for a rapture. Oh, glory. Notice that is, if he is true eagle, he will understand the message of the hour if he's a true eagle. Amen?
Amen?
Absolutely. Now, the little eagle probably in the barnyard was eating all right, but he knowed it wasn't just exactly right. But then when he heard the truth, then he received this truth. Now, in John 14, I'll probably just try to read about an hour's over with. Amen. I'll quit here in just a minute. Just give me a minute here. I won't be able to get to it this morning. John 5:24, Jesus said, speaking this way, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Just think how simple that is. He that believeth. Now, the correct way of saying that, he that understandeth. Now, you go out here to the street and say to this prostitute, "You believe?" "Sure," she'd say. "You believe he's the Son of God?" "Certainly." "Been baptized?" "Sure." And go down to the drunkard and say, "You hear that? Hear the preacher preach?" "Yeah." "You believe that?" "Sure." But he that understandeth, he that knoweth his place in this hour, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, eternal life, shall not come into judgment. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing to know? You won't come into judgment. Glory. He says here, but has already passed from death unto life. Then when this new eternal life dwells in you, it is the potential or the earnestness of you being quickened from mortal to immortality. Glory. Let me say that again. When this spirit has found you, the individual, and has come upon you, it is the potential of your eternal inheritance that God thought of you and made for you before the foundational world. That is your potential. Like you asked me for an oak tree, I give you an acorn. Now the life for the oak tree is in the acorn now, but you have to wait till it grows up. So do we. Now pay attention. I'll close here. So do we. When you receive the Holy Spirit of God, won't you come up to the instrument, sister, please? It's God's potential waiting upon you that's already recognized you, and you're sealed by the Spirit of promise of God into the body of Christ. When God looked down at Calvary and seen Jesus dying, oh, he died for his bride, the body, which is the Word, church. The church that believes the Word of God for the age, whether it's feet, body, head, or whatever it is, Christ was bleeding and dying, and God, looking upon him, saw his resurrection, and the church raised with him on Easter. Now, I want you to get all this together, because I've got something here in a little bit I want to say, Lord willing. Now, notice, it's the earnest, or the potential, the quickening power of your resurrection. When you receive the Spirit, it's then dwelling in you, the potential of it. Notice, you are now on your way, growing to full resurrection. I want you to listen. Some of you people haven't been in the message a long time, you know. And even for us, it's been in the message a long time. I want you to remember this, what he's going to say. You remember this. There ain't no tree grows up overnight. So when maybe you need to overcome something, you see something short in your life, just give it some more word. Give it some more word. You see? All right? He says, no tree just comes up overnight. It's got to grow. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, I trust in something we're growing this morning. You see, something. You are baptized into the Holy Spirit. Now as the Pentecostal church, baptized in the Holy Spirit, it began growing. Limbs has died. They were pruning them off. But the tree is still growing and still going on because it's got to come to the resurrection. They're led by the Spirit to quicken the word to you who is the believers. The word keeps quickening. As you come to the first limb, second limb, third limb, on up, it just keeps quickening. The Spirit of God just keeps quickening to you. Oh my, I trust something keeps quickening our hearts today. Something, somewhere, or some little nugget come to quicken us a little further. It'll take us to that resurrection, a life change from mortal to immortality. Oh my, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to it. Amen. Now, we may have to go through some things yet, but one thing about it, if God be for me, who can be against me? What shall separate us from the love of God? I shall peril a sword, famine, nakedness? Nay, nothing shall separate us from the love of which is Christ Jesus our Lord. You see? All right. He says, the Spirit of God keeps quickening you. Notice that Pentecost, their bodies were quickened by the new life they received. That makes me feel religious, he says. Think of it now. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit was quickening that word to you and the Holy Spirit was there making this a life to you that you couldn't live without it? Oh, what a blessing it is to know that you just have that feeling on the inside, I can't live without it. I just got to have this. This has got to be everything to me. Hallelujah. Regardless of cares of life and all that, this has got to be everything. Amen. Now here was men, fishermen, tax collectors, humble little women, just ordinary housewives, little virgin girls. They were believers. They were believing that this was the truth. They believed that. Then Jesus died. They believed on him and rose up again from the dead. They believed that to be the absolute testimony of God, that he had quickened him to life. Now they go up to the day of Pentecost to receive their abstract. Do you know what an abstract is? Is when a deed has been cleared. We'll continue later on now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So think about that. Oh, glory to his name. Don't you love him? Do you get tired of me asking you that? No. You always want to tell the Lord how much you love him, appreciate him, and he's very precious to us. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. And if you got a song on your heart you want to sing, amen. I sing it again. Brother Timothy. Well, I can still sing it after that. She'll go right ahead. Amen. What is it? Oh, well, you come on up. Amen. That's fine. Then I'll sing my song. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. While I've got mine, I will.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
And you know that?
Amen.
For sure? Amen. Why? Because he lives. Amen. Let us just turn old songbooks to page 176. I mentioned it while I was ministering there. Blessed Assurance. I just want to sing it together. Amen. And listen to these precious words. Amen. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Lord.
heads, would you come up and dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, you've given us one more Easter with expectation, Lord, that one day this life will all be over and we'll be over on the other side.
Yes, amen.
So as we come to you today, Lord, we thank you for each one's health and their spiritual growth. So we give you thanks and praise today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, amen.
Bless.